Okay, we're ready to get going. Great to have everybody here, braving the weather. And who got the most? Who got more than 24 inches at their house? More than 24? Okay. Will you win the prize? After the service, we're going to shovel up another bucket for you to take home. Dieter, you just missed it. I handed out all the reading assignments. Okay, but it's good to have everybody. I do have a couple announcements. Happy hikers and hitchhikers are up and going great. They're not going to walk tomorrow morning, though, okay? But if you've never... Sue will. She'll be out there in her boots. It may not be open tomorrow. I don't know. Anyway, we've been walking Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, 9 o'clock. And it's not just an exercise class. It's a ministry. I mean, people share their praises and concerns and everything, just like at church, and you're with other people that just want to have fellowship. So come 9 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Just show up at the Fossil Beds parking lot at 9 o'clock, and you'll see a bunch of us just standing around waiting for everybody else to come. And if you're a slow walker, great. If you're a fast walker, great. You know, nobody's left behind, and if you only want to walk 1 mile, great. If you want to walk 3 or 4 miles, just hang around with Giles and you'll go 12. But just come and have a good time. Okay. The other announcement is Wilma Cheney. Hopefully she's going to be at church here this morning. This may be her last Sunday because her daughter and son-in-law are coming next weekend. They're heading out with a U-Haul on Tuesday next week. And she had a garage sale this weekend. Friday, she's did over $500 worth, but she's got $5,000 worth still left, right, Scott? Anyway, Wilma's having a hard time. You know, she's been here 26 years, and so pray for her. But more than pray for her, tomorrow, maybe the last day of the sale, I don't know, we didn't do it yesterday or today, come by Wilma's house, buy one, get one free. Buy anything or just take something. I mean, stuff that doesn't sell is going to be taken to Goodwill. So don't feel guilty about, you know, can I just give you a dollar for this? Preferably a dollar for this, you know. But come to Wilma's house. She's in Colorado Mountain Estates, 311 due south. Go into Colorado Mountain Estates, take a right on Homestead, which is really the first road. And at the end of that, you got to take a left on due south and just go until you find 311. 311 due south, Wilma Cheney.
Does she have plants?
Plants? She sold the plants, but she has furniture. She's got kitchen stuff. She's got tools, indoor, outdoor stuff. Maybe some antique. There could be some stuff hidden in there worth a lot. A two-car garage full and a house full, and not a whole lot's been removed. So help her out and be a big help to everybody if you can do that. Wilma Cheney tomorrow, anytime during the day. Okay. All right, prayer request this morning. Pray for Wilma, okay? She's just not thinking straight all the time now. But she's got 26 years, and she's going to be moving to Tennessee. Her daughter's got a tiny house in the backyard. So she's going to be living there. Should be a nice arrangement, but pray for that. Other prayer requests? I'm sure we've got some folks in our church that need prayer. Next week, by the way, we will be handing out a sheet. The deacons have a ministry called Caring Hearts, and we list people on there, primarily members that can't get to church anymore. People like Charlie Reddick and Peggy Allen, people like that. We've got like 9 or so on there. And so I made a list. It's got their whole address and their phone numbers. And we're going to, you know, the deacons try to contact them people periodically. We don't want them to fall through the cracks and be forgotten. We added a few people like Ken McElroy, Naomi, and Margaret, okay? So I'll have the list available next week in the foyer or someplace. We'll make an announcement. We'd like for you to pick one up and give them a call. Send them a card. They love to get mail, or go visit them if you can. So we'll do that next week. Other prayer requests?
Can I give you
a yeah. It was quite the ordeal. This. Yeah. Yeah, great. They're in San Francisco, and they're going to go see him next week or so? Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, we are so grateful for the moisture, the beauty of the snow. Thank you for keeping us safe and allowing us to get out and come here to your church, your place of worship. Lord, we thank you for blessing us so. We pray for more moisture this week as predicted, that you'll continue to provide the needs around us. We pray, Father, for the members of this church and those that are affiliated with the church and our family and friends that have, some of them have very serious needs, Lord. We lift them up to you. I pray for wisdom and healing. And most of all, Father, we pray for salvation for those that are lost. We thank you for this day. We pray that your Holy Spirit be present in a powerful way through the teaching hour and through the worship hour that follows. And Father, may we truly worship you today from our hearts. We love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've been doing miracles of Jesus. Last week, remember, we had one guy that had two miracles. What were his two miracles? He was saved. Sins, your sins are forgiven. And just to prove that Jesus had the power to forgive sins, what did he do? He healed him, remember? He's a guy that never walked. His friends carried him on the cot and had to let him through the ceiling. I mean, an interesting story, you know, but a true story, and how Jesus healed him. Today, we're going to look at three miracles in Mark chapter 5. That was your homework. I'm sure everybody read it, right? Good. And it's going to deal with devils, diseases, and death. Devils, diseases, and death. You know, a good preacher's got to have 3 points. It's got to be alliteration. Have to start with the same letter. So this will make a sermon. But anyway, we see three. Okay, if you didn't get a handout, they're out there back there on the podium thing. The first blank there, three impossible cases that Jesus faced. Three impossible cases. Wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say nothing's impossible? Okay, as we look at it, three impossible cases. First one person possessed with devils, with demons. What are we going to do with him? The second one had an incurable disease. What are we going to do with that case? And the third one was dead. Well, we can't do anything about that. So this is what Jesus is faced with in this one chapter. And how is he going to deal with these three impossible cases? The next sentence says, if we had them with us today, we would put one of them in an insane asylum, in a mental hospital, right? The guy possessed with demons. The second one, they'd put him in a hospital. He's got a disease, an incurable disease. And the third one, we'd put him in the grave. He's dead. That's what we would do. But what's Jesus going to do? Let's find out. Number one, Roman number one, devils. Roman number one is devils. And this is the maniac of Gadara. Who's got Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 16? We've got a lot of verses to read here. Read it nice and loud so everybody can hear.
Can you give me a tissue?
Okay, that's 16. Good. Okay, well, let me read something here. When Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they came to the country of the Gadarenes, and immediately, Mark says, Mark probably uses that word immediately more than anybody. Remember, if you remember the books of the Bible, the walk through the Bible, the key word for Mark was servant. Presents Jesus as a servant. Doesn't talk about his birth, his growing up. Starts right in with his ministry, because if you hire a servant, you don't really care where he was born, what his background is, just can he do the job? And you want him to do it immediately. So Mark's kind of presenting that in his gospel about Jesus' serving. So anyway, immediately. And there met him a man from the tombs, a man of unclean spirits. Matthew speaks of two. This story is mentioned in several gospels. Matthew talks about two demoniacs, whereas Mark and Luke only mention one. Uh-oh. Bible's wrong, right? No. Just as Matthew speaks of two blind men at Jericho, while the other two only refer to Bartimaeus. You know, sometimes things like that bother you. When you read a story here and you read a story there, it's a little different. Remember our story about going to the baseball game. Everybody wrote a different story, but they all told the truth. But it's hardly a contradiction. And the explanation may be that only one of the two came into prominence, and therefore the other one is not mentioned. And we got to go back to the way they wrote and thought back in ancient Bible days, which I have a hard time. My brother, I keep asking him questions. He says, you got to think like, you're thinking like a whatever. You got to think like they thought back there. Women weren't important, so a lot, I mean, he fed 5,000. Oh, plus the women and the children. You know, so there could have been 20,000. And things like this. So, you know, Joseph died, probably, Jesus' father. Nobody mentions it. All we know is that Mary's at the crucifixion and not Joseph. So the Bible leaves out some stuff, gets us thinking, wondering, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. So if you ever had that problem, wait a minute, Matthew talks about two guys, and here we only see one, because there's reasons for that. Okay, well, let's look at these. Letter A. The people evidently tried to tame him. It talks about that, what Scott read. They tried to tame him, and the people evidently drove him out of their village. He was a hazard, a danger to society. There was nothing else. They tried to work with him, but he was just too far gone, and they made him live out in the cemetery. And everybody knew about him, and they stayed away from him. Okay, well, letter C, we've got three lessons for life. Three lessons for life. The first lesson is the lesson of the swine. The lesson of the swine. And the next statement after that, a soul is worth much more. Okay, this is one of two instances where Jesus destroyed property. Okay, I mean, it's because of Jesus that those guys lost 2,000 pigs, right? And you think, well, why did he do that? Well, twice where he destroyed property and miracles. He performed, the other was when Jesus cursed the barren fig tree. Remember that? He went to look for figs and he cursed it and it withered. It wasn't even time for figs. But there's a meaning behind all that too with the fig tree, but that's a different lesson. Some have greatly criticized Jesus, saying he had no right to bring about such destruction of property. It's often been pointed out that it was unlawful for the Jews to keep swine. So, you know, that wasn't right. However, in this area, there were a lot of Gentiles as well. They may have belonged to a Gentile. Perhaps a better answer is given by Jesus himself in regard to another incident where Jesus said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? And here he says, how much better is a man than a pig? What matters if 2,000 hogs are drowned, but a soul is set free from the cruel dominion of Satan? So, you know, the lesson of the swine, we need to learn that a soul, a salvation for somebody is worth more than, you know, so it may cost a lot. May cost a lot of money for you to reach somebody or whatever, but it's worth it. You know, a soul saved is priceless. Letter B. Number two, the second lesson for life, the lesson of prayer. The lesson of prayer. All right, we have like three prayers here. Not necessarily, you might not think of them as prayers, but actually they were. The first one is the fallen angels. The fallen angels. The first one is first request is that of the demons. That of the demons. That of the demons. They prayed and they said, you know, send us into the swine. Okay. And who are the demons? They're fallen angels. Remember when Satan was cast out of heaven and a third of the angels with him? And those are the demons wandering the earth today. So the bullet under that is fallen angels request to go into the swine. That's kind of weird, you know. Send us into the pigs. And they know the pigs are going to probably go crazy and go into the sea. And the next bullet is similar to what sin does to people today. We look at that, and we need to realize that sin can destroy people. Just like those demons destroyed those swine, sin can destroy lives today. If we ask for stories here or testimonies, maybe you've got family members or friends that their life was destroyed because of sin. You know, if they had Christ, things would have been different. And then the last bullet under there, destructive power of Satan. Destructive power of Satan is appalling. But praise God, Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John 3:8. Okay, so Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, what would this world be like if Jesus hadn't come, if he hadn't sent his Holy Spirit, and if God just stayed up there in heaven watching how things were going? Satan would have a free reign, you know. But Christ came, and then he left his Holy Spirit living in us today, and that Holy Spirit's doing battle against Satan every day. Okay, number two, the second lesson is the request of the swine owners. The request of the swine owners. Verse 17, who's got that? Mark 5, 17.
And they began to entreat him to depart from their region.
Okay, so they're praying to Jesus, get out of here. You know, why did they react that way? Yeah, Stephanie? Yeah, pocketbook, loss of property. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of cattle, a lot of pigs. You know, that's worth a lot. And they're gone. And so they were thinking more, I think, about that, about the physical loss, than they were about this guy who's now in his right mind and clothed and normal. Okay. But the last bullet on page one, it's dangerous to ask Jesus to leave. It's dangerous to ask Jesus to leave. It happens a couple other places in the Bible where they ask Jesus to leave. Top of the second page, Jesus does not go where he's not invited. He's not going to force his way into your life. You know, Holy Spirit's going to convict you, encourage you. But Revelation 3:20. Okay, so what's that say? How's Jesus going to get in? We got to open the door. There's that famous picture, painting or whatever, of Jesus knocking on the door, and all the preachers point out, notice there's no doorknob on the outside. There's no way for Jesus to get in. You have to open that door to allow him to come in. When you were saved, when you accepted Christ, you had to take that action. You know, he was knocking at your door, Holy Spirit was convicting you, and you knew what you had to do, but you had to open that door and let him in. So he doesn't go anywhere where he's not invited. Next bullet, the third prayer or the third request, the request of the healed man, verse 18. Okay, so the bullet under that, it was a natural request. It was a natural request. Picture yourself, you're the maniac of Gadara, okay? You've got a horrible life. You can't think straight. You know, you're cutting yourself. You're beating yourself. You're weird. And all of a sudden, you're normal. And this guy here is the one who did it. And he's getting ready to leave. What are you going to do? You know, I'm afraid to go back home. They know what I was. I want to go with Jesus. I want to see some more stuff that he's doing. Isn't that a natural request of him saying, Jesus, I want to go with you. You know, no doubt about it. That's where I'm headed. You got room in the boat, I'm coming with you. But what's Jesus tell him? He says, no. Tells him to go back. So this is a natural request for him to want to go with Jesus. And then the third lesson. Okay, we've learned three lessons from this about the devils. The lesson of the swine, the lesson of the prayer, then this lesson of prayer. We've seen these three prayers. Now the third lesson is the lesson of witnessing. The lesson of witnessing, verses 19 and 20. Who's got that?
And he did not permit them, but said to them, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to complain in the Decapolis, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Okay, the lesson of witnessing. So Jesus said, no, you're not going to come with me. I want you to go back home. And I bet he argued, I don't know if he argued with him or questioned him, but he went back. And let me just read this little thing here. A man who had been converted at one of Spurgeon's services, and I'm sure Dieter and Gerard can tell us all about Spurgeon. Amy can tell me all about Spurgeon. Came to him after the meeting and expressed his desire to go out and do Christian work. So Spurgeon looked at him and said, what are you? And the man said, I'm an engine driver. He's a train driver, okay? An engine driver. Is the stoker a Christian? Remember the stoker who put the coal in there for the steam engine. Is the stoker a Christian? No, the man answered. Then there is your engine. There in your engine, with the stoker working at your side, is your field of duty and opportunity. So he just pointed out to him, hey, you don't have to be a missionary and go to Africa. Maybe he's calling you to do that. But he's calling all of us to witness someplace. So here, he's supposed to witness to the guy he works with. We'll read the rest of this story here. We can see the maniac standing there on the cliff watching as Jesus and his disciples get into their boat and take off. The horizontal sail is raised, the wind fills it, and soon the ship is rapidly westward going out of sight toward Capernaum. The man watches until it's gone. When the shepherds see him, they run off their flocks, calling one another, get your flocks into the field. Legion is coming. When he gets near the outskirts, and then this is somebody, you know, imagining this. When he gets to the outskirts of town, the boys who have been playing about said to one another, run for your lives. Legion is coming. When the people of the town hear the cry, the shops are emptied. Mothers run into the street and drag their children. Every window is barred and every door is bolted. And even the growling dogs take refuge under their houses. This is very possible because this is a weird guy. They know what he's done. When he arrives in town, it's like a city of the dead. Not a person can be seen. But his daughter, opening the door an inch or two and looking out, she cries to her mother, mother, it's father. But he has his clothes on and his face is not covered with blood. And there are no broken chains on his arms or his legs. And instead, he's leaping over the ditches and the dikes, and he's coming straight down the road. Then the mother looks out, and when he arrives before the home, she and her children open the door, rush out, and greet their father. Quickly, the word is passed up and down the street. One by one, the doors and the windows are open, and soon all the inhabitants gather around Legion as he stands there in front of them and in the midst of his family, clothed in his right mind, ordained a preacher by Jesus himself. And he tells them the great things that Christ has done for him and how the Master has had compassion on him. So it's just somebody's imagination, but, you know, what was it like for him to go back home in his right mind? Okay, well, that's the demons. The next D, Roman number 2, is disease. The disease. Verses 21 to 34, who's got that long one?
And had suffered many things of many physicians
and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather for worse. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be full of thy plague.
Okay, so this story starts with Jairus, this guy, a leader in the synagogue, coming to Jesus and saying, hey, my daughter's really sick. She needs you. Okay, which is, that's the next story, really. And then they're headed out that way, and he gets interrupted. There's a crowd, a lot of people around him, 20, 50, 200, I don't know how many. And they're crowding in on him, and this lady has been sick for a long time, spent all her money, you know, gone to every doctor, probably got ripped off by some doctors, I don't know. But she said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. I follow this guy, I know about him. I'll be healed. And she does that, and Jesus, stops. Who touched me? Hey, there's 50 people around you. A lot of people touched you. But he knew something had happened. And so this is the story here of the Roman number 2 disease, a woman with an issue of blood. The woman tried everything. She spent all her money. Letter B, she had nothing left but faith. Nothing left but faith. Oh, my goodness. Bottom of the barrel, right? But there's nothing that pleases Christ more than our faith in him. How many of you have said or have heard said, there's nothing else we can do but pray for him? That's really not a very accurate statement, right? That's where we should have started. Before we went suggesting doctors and medicines and home remedies, we should have started with the prayer, right? And the same thing here, faith. Tried everything else. Oh, let's try our faith. This lady had her faith, and the faith is what healed her. So we need to learn that lesson. That, our faith is important. Faith, grace, salvation, forgiveness, great words in the Bible. And letter C, she said, if only I could touch him. And that was her faith. She said, that's all I need to do. I don't need him to pray over me or do something fancy. I just want to touch him. And I know that I'm going to be healed. I know. My faith tells me I'm going to be healed if I could just touch him. So we have the demons. Roman number 2 was the disease. Roman number 3, that last D is death. Death. The raising of Jairus' daughter. Mark 5, verses 35 to 43. Okay, Stephanie? Okay, so here we have death. It starts before the healing of the lady. Jairus, he's a leader in the temple, the synagogue. The Jews didn't like Jesus, right? Scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't like Jesus. They didn't agree with this new way and what was happening and all. And he's a leader in the synagogue. Letter A, Jairus was one of the rulers in the synagogue. He wasn't the guy that took out the trash. He was a leader in the synagogue. Okay, But something inside him told him, like number B, the synagogue was not adequate for the needs of this little girl. You know, he's a leader in the synagogue. The synagogue, you know, that's your, get your spiritual strength and learn about God and draw close to God and ask for help and healing and all. And maybe he had tried all that. And he realized the synagogue was not going to heal his daughter. And he heard about Jesus. Maybe he heard a few sermons. Maybe he caught him on YouTube or something. I don't know. But somehow Jairus knew about Jesus. And something deep inside him said, you need to go see him. You know, if you want your daughter to be made well, you need to go see Jesus. So that's the story here. So he goes to Jesus, and Jesus agrees, and they start marching toward his town. In the meantime, this lady comes and interrupts everything, and she gets healed. And if that hadn't happened, maybe Jesus could have gotten there before the girl died, maybe. Kind of like with Lazarus, you know. Martha and Mary said, you're late. You're 4 days late. Why didn't you come sooner? You could have healed him. And Jesus said, don't worry. This is all in God's plan. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. So maybe this was God. Maybe this is God's plan for him to be just a little bit late so the girl dies. So Jesus gathers up a few of his disciples, kind of sends the rest of the crowd away. I don't know how many of them really left, but I guess they did. So we see letter C. Jesus performed the raising of the dead three times. This little girl is the blank there. This little girl, the widow's son at, anybody know the answer to that? What town were they from? The widow's son. Nain, N-A-I-N, the widow of Nain. And who's the last guy? Lazarus, okay? We have other times of people raising from the dead, a few in the Old Testament, New Testament, some of the disciples and so forth. Some are a little questionable. That guy that fell out the window when Paul was preaching, that's why they didn't put a second story on this building, because they've heard Peter preach, and they're afraid somebody just might fall out the window, and they're going to have to go over there and wake him up. But Jesus raised three people in his ministry. I guess that's all he could do, right? I thought it was interesting when he raised Lazarus. What if he had just said, come forth? What would happen? The whole cemetery would have come forth. He had to be a little more specific. Lazarus, come forth. Good thing there wasn't another Lazarus. You know, maybe that poor guy at the rich man's, you know, table or whatever. You know, he'd said maybe. But he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. Otherwise, they would have obeyed him. They would have come forth. Okay. Letter D. Jesus does not show his power to scoffers. Scoffers. What are scoffers? We have any scoffers today? Do you have a neighbor, a friend, the kind of question, why do you go to church? You know, what are you doing? And you give money, you're wasting your time. You ever have people like that? Or maybe they don't say it outright, but you know, maybe that's what they're kind of thinking. They don't agree with this whole church thing. They're scoffers. And so Jesus doesn't show his power to scoffers. Remember when he got to the house, they were wailing and weeping and carrying on. And Jesus said, hey, come on out. She's not a dead. She's just asleep. I'm going to raise, you know, she's going to be okay. And they're going to make fun of her because they know that she's dead. They've seen it. They're positive. And so he cast them out, told them to get out. They didn't get a chance to see her being raised from the dead. Only her parents and a couple disciples were there to see her be raised from the dead. I mean, that's got to be a miracle. And she didn't wake up and start coughing and everything, and she was still pretty sick. No, she was pretty healed. She was in excellent health, okay? And so, but Jesus doesn't show his power to scoffers. So you need to pray for those scoffers that you know, that the Holy Spirit would convict them, that they would see something in your life. They would see some work of the Holy Spirit around them. And make them curious and want to seek out Jesus. Just like Jairus sought out Jesus. Just like that lady sought out Jesus. You know, you need to pray for that person that the Holy Spirit would convict them and give them the desire to find Jesus, to know him personally. And then the last bullet. Have we covered everything? Probably. Letter E. Jesus wants to show his power today, but he does it only to believers, only to believing hearts. Oh, there's a word hearts down there. Only to believing hearts. Matthew 13:58. Oh, where was that? Was it Nazareth? Is this the one with Nazareth? Dieter Girard looking at you. I didn't go back and read the background of this. He did not many marvelous works there because of their unbelief. It could have been Nazareth, because that's one reason he left there. Doesn't matter. He was someplace, and they didn't want to hear him. They wanted to get rid of him. They didn't believe him, and he couldn't do things. He could have, but he didn't do anything because of their unbelief. You know, for Jesus to this lady that got healed of her disease was because of her faith. If only I could touch the hem of his garment. Don't need anything else. That's good enough. That's my faith tells me that's all I need, and it's because of that she was healed. So because of her faith, Jairus, a Jewish leader in the synagogue, comes to Jesus asking him to heal his daughter. It's because of his faith that his daughter's healed. So, you know, we don't want it to be said Jesus couldn't do much here because of their unbelief. You know, we want people to say Jesus is alive and well at Community Fellowship of Christians. Things are happening. Jesus is at work. The Holy Spirit's there moving and working, convicting and healing. And we need to say that. Okay. Any questions on these three miracles? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I've got a question.
Uh-oh, Gerard's going to answer.
How can Jesus tell you he can't go, he can go home?
Yeah.
And then the next time he said, don't tell me. So I wondered, is there a time to speak up and a time to
speak? That sounds like Ecclesiastes, right? The birds, turn, turn, turn. From Ecclesiastes. Who wrote that song, Dieter? Gerard? Pete Seeger wrote it. Pete Seeger. Because I know that. I think I told the story before. You know, I was a disc jock. I used to hang around the radio stations all the time in high school. And he was playing Turn, Turn, Turn. And so he said something like, you know, Bob Dylan wrote this song. The birds are singing it. I called him up, said, Bob Dylan didn't write it. Pete Seeger wrote it. I know him because it's like Steger without, he doesn't have the T. So he stops the record and says, I got John Steger on here. He says, Pete Seeger wrote it. Looked at the record, Pete Seeger. What other famous song did Pete Seeger write? Completely different. On Top of Old Smokey. So anyway, the words, okay, and that bothers me too. You know, when Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Now, I can see a couple reasons. When you tell your kids, don't touch those cookies, what do they want to do? Touch those cookies, right? Did he say it because of that? Or what are some reasons? Why would Jesus tell people, don't tell anybody what happened? What do you think? Wasn't the right time. Yeah, and it sort of says that one place. Stephanie? Yeah. Any other thoughts? Pardon? Crowd control. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Why does Jesus say that several times? Don't tell anybody. One time he said, don't tell anybody, you just go to the priest. When he healed the leper, I think. When they did the 10 and only one came back, and he told him, don't tell anybody, just go straight to tell the priest and give him your 2 coins or your 2 pigeons or whatever for your healing. I don't know if anybody's got the right answer. I'm sure there's some biblical scholars that have written a 2,700-page book about why he said that, you know. But it just gives us more things to think about. You know, all the answers. As you read more and more in the Bible, you get some more questions and wondering, and maybe that gets you more interested in reading the Bible and trying to figure things out. I think God wants us to figure some things out on our own. Anybody else? Okay. You know, when I think of Guffey, I think of Gadara. I don't know why. Do you got anybody living in the cemetery there? How many of you like ham? Only a few. Come on. Fresh ham, pork chops, sausage. You know, thank God for pigs. You know, those poor Jewish guys didn't get to eat it. The old guy that wrote the lessons, pray for him, by the way. He's 89. several weeks ago, he had trouble walking from one room to the next. He ended up in the emergency room and all, and the neurologist, best thing they can figure out, he's got neuropathy. And so he's got a walker now, and I just can't picture preach with a walker. But so pray for him. But it's funny, for some reason, he never liked ham. I don't think he was, because he wasn't Jewish, he didn't like ham. All the potlucks or church dinners we had, we never had ham because preach didn't like ham. Not that he ran the church, but at least he ran the kitchen. He had something to say so in the kitchen. But I like ham. Okay. Next week, we're going to study another miracle. I'm not sure. It could be healing the nobleman's son. That's the next one. But I'm going to look through because I only have one more week. And then Gerard takes over. But I'll pick out a good one. I'll send you an email telling you what your homework is. So anyway, Larry, will you dismiss us back there? Amen.